This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Friday, May 12th. Well, it's finally crop report day. We've been waiting for this day for months, talking about these all-important numbers where we get our first look from USDA for the new crop. And hard red winter wheat production, of course, is kind of the one of the front and center numbers. And of course, we've got the corn and soybean production estimates, ending stocks. Another look at Argentina's production, Brazil's, all of these numbers are very important. For hard red winter wheat, the average trade estimate is around 591 million bushels. And that compares to last year's 531 million bushels final production number. So even with an increase of 2.2 million acres, we're not getting that big of an increase in production. And of course, that's because of the drought that's been prevalent across much of that region in the central and southern plains throughout their growing season. For corn, we're looking at ending stocks to be 2.055 billion bushels. That's up 53% over this year's estimate. So it's a huge jump, which is why you see the spreads between old crop and new crop just surging. We still have very tight supplies of old crop, and cash basis is still strong and moving higher. So that's pulling the front months higher. But when you look at the potential for big corn production, it's still there. You know, we're ahead of schedule getting the crop planted, except in the northern plains, where most of the additional acres were going to come from. But still, in the heart of the Midwest, plantings are ahead of this schedule, which normally would suggest at least trend line, if not better than average yields. So that's one reason why the new crop corn is not performing nearly as well as the old crop. Plus, you've also got a big Brazilian crop coming. They're starting to hone in on some fine-tune the production estimate, and they're suggesting that Brazil's probably going to have a record corn crop. And that will come into the world pipeline in about harvest June, hitting the pipeline in July. So those are some of the things kind of dragging on corn. But nevertheless, you still have to get through the growing season here in the United States. And it's very dry in the Central Plains. There are some rains coming for Nebraska, and then that could stretch into the Midwest. So, it's not a complete disaster at this point, but Nebraska was looking as drought-ridden as Kansas. When you look at the drought monitor, it looks just as bad as Kansas, but it has gotten more rain over the last few days, and it looks like more is in the forecast. And again, those dry conditions do stretch into the western Midwest, but they'll probably get pretty decent rains coming out of this system that's moving across Nebraska. The Northern Plains expected to get quite a good shot of rain starting today and over the next couple days, mostly over North Dakota, which again is going to slow down plantings, in particular of corn, but it's also going to slow down some spring wheat plantings as well. We have just the opposite situation going on in Canadian prairies, where it's been dry and continues to be dry. So that's going to be starting to stress their spring crops as well. So it's quite a mix of weather conditions across the northern hemisphere. And the southern hemisphere is still very dry across Argentina. The trade is eagerly awaiting to see what USDA's numbers will be for corn and bean production out of Argentina. The Buenos Aires Grain Exchange did put out their production estimates yesterday. Soybeans are at 22.5 million tons. That compares to last year's production of 44. And USDA, last month had them at 27. So probably USDA will continue to ratchet down production estimates for corn and beans in Argentina. Yesterday, the Buenos Aires Grain Exchange estimated corn production at 36 million tons. That's down 13 million from last year, and it's down about 1 million from what USDA projected last month. And they're about almost 25% done with corn harvest. So it's pretty much set in stone what that production will be. So we'll just wait for the crop report to come out. It's at 10 o'clock Mountain Time. The markets are all over the place. The wheat market had a huge rally last week. Then this week we've basically stalled out. The night session is up strong again. So, you know, Kansas City has been the leader for the wheat space. It just doesn't want to quit. We've had it, they had that good rally last week. This week basically just went sideways, whereas the other markets did pull back more. Chicago got down into its first level of support, appears to be holding. Minneapolis seems to be kind of caught in the middle. It's basically just moved sideways, similar to what the Kansas City market has done. In corn, 2 days ago, we had a nice outside day higher. Yesterday, an inside day lower. So we're not getting much follow through there at all. And in soybeans, yesterday, we sold off early and then snapped back and reversed back up, giving us a little bit of a spike low, basically equal to where the March low was. So we could be forming a double bottom in the soy complex as well. I think once we get this crop report behind us, I think the market and traders will be more willing to step into the long side for corn and beans. As we head into the growing season, there are some threats hanging around. You know, the crop's getting in early. That's been a big part of the pressure in the row crop price action. But, you know, we do have dry conditions. We don't have a lot of wiggle room for moisture supplies in the western part of the Midwest and in the northern part of the Midwest as well. So I think that markets probably build a little weather premium, at least in the short term, for the row crops. A couple other things, of course, export sales were out yesterday. Wheat, 360,000 tons, that was within the range of estimates. Corn, 340, that was also within its range. Soybeans, 112,000. So not exactly great numbers, but within the range of estimates. The grain deal, a lot of hand-wringing going on about that. Russia claims that there's been no deal struck. The UN and Turkey are both kind of suggesting that probably maybe there's been a deal struck. So a lot of conflicting news coming out of there. Turkey has a presidential election this weekend. That's probably why they're trying to paint a rosy picture here. But Russia just insists that unless all their demands are met, they're not going to renew the agreement. It's just the same old thing, you know, trying to exercise leverage that they don't have. They need the corridor open, probably more so than Ukraine. Ukraine's done a pretty good job, thankfully, with the help of their neighbors, to create more export avenues, mostly through the Eastern European countries. As long as they don't keep it in those countries, they can transport it through. And they're going to have a lot less to export here for this next growing season, this next marketing year, whereas Russia still has a lot of wheat left over from last year. They clearly need this corridor to stay open, and you know they're probably looking at pretty decent winter wheat crop coming for this coming production season. Spring wheat area looks a little dry, but it's still early in the growing season there. So either way you look at it, Russia needs that corridor open. Why they would shoot themselves in the foot by closing it doesn't make any sense, but then the war didn't make any sense either. So we'll see where it goes, but even if they leave it, I think they'll be back within a couple days, just like they did here a few months back. So it is what it is. I think the trade's getting kind of tired of the drama, and we don't expect to see that affect Ukraine really all that much. But if Russia does leave it, and stays out, which I don't see how they could do, but that would be pretty bullish for the wheat market. You know, they had a huge sale to Algeria here a couple days ago, but we're finding that it's actually an optional origin sale. So while Russia may have been the cheapest offer, there's still quite a bit of Ukraine wheat floating around the Eastern European countries that might find its way into Algeria as well. So there's quite a bit of wheat in the Black Sea, in Europe, that needs to find a home. And I think that's going to ultimately be kind of a wet blanket over this wheat market. We're having a strong day on the night session. We're up about 15, 16 in Kansas City. The other wheat markets are tagging along. Maybe they're expecting more of a bullish report from USDA. I think if we get it, if we get a bullish production estimate from USDA, I would expect that probably will carve out your high. Whether it's today or sometime next week, it just remains to be seen. But The market is consolidating here. We've got a little bit more to go to be testing those highs from a few that held the market over the last few months. We'll just have to see what happens. But technically, we're getting up into some significant resistance levels. The market appears to be getting tired. If we can break through that, and especially if we can close above that, those resistance points from the last couple months, then that would suggest you've got another leg up coming and a lot more bullishness to it. But you have to close above it with some conviction. And we have just yet to do that. And we're in the time of year where the markets tend to stall out seasonally. So be looking for wheat to probably get some kind of a bullish number. And if we fail, that's going to be a significant sell signal. If you have any questions, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.